Chapter 53. In the lee of the hill, in a sturdily constructed lean-to, a last gift of the crew of the Cowley, the three of them spent an uneasy four-hour night. They ate, wrapped in survival blankets. None of them slept. The air felt increasingly warm, smoky, ash-laden, like the air of the datum just after Yellowstone, Sally thought. And the noise was continuous now. The rush of the wind, a rolling thunder like the sound of distant artillery. Stan recovered quickly from his fit, especially once Lobsang, George, had administered a bowl of Agnes's chicken soup. He chose not to describe what had gone on in his head at the moment of the cauterizing, and the others didn't press him. Another issue, Sally thought, for a future none of them was going to see. The morning came with a dawn as abrupt as a thrown switch. That, and a savage earth tremor, a drop that felt like they were on some vast elevator that had just slipped its cable a couple of feet, Sally thought. The Cowley crew had left a small science station. Lobsang consulted this as they drank coffee from a flask.
"Incredible," he said. "Today will be less than 6 hours long, day and night. The rotational energy of this Earth has roughly doubled in the last 12 hours. You have to hand it to those beetles. It took them a long time to build this vast machine, this interplanetary motor. But now that it's up and running, energy and momentum are just pouring down from the sky. And here's what it's doing."
He opened a tablet which showed a mosaic of global images taken from space.
"These are coming from the small satellites the Cowley crew put into orbit before they left."
Sally looked closer to see. Under its new latitudinal bands of cloud, the face of this Earth in outline was much as it had always been, the school atlas shapes of the continents, the blue-grey of the oceans. But a network of jagged red lines spread over the interior of the continents and glowed under the oceans, although thick banks of steam obscured much of the view over the water.
"It's like a ball full of lava that somebody dropped on the floor and cracked."
"That's not a bad analogy," Lobsang said.
His finger traced the glowing flaws scribbled across the face of North America.
"The planet's crust is just a fine shell around a ball of liquid rock and metal. Now that shell is breaking open. You can see the boundaries between geological provinces, faults opening up, cracks between the tectonic plates."
He pointed to a livid blemish in the west.
"That is the local Yellowstone. It went up at last. But soon even the continental plates themselves will start to crumble. They must. The planet's deformation has become so severe that at the equator the mantle itself is rising to the surface now."
He rubbed his face.
"We may not see it all. All the crap that's pouring into the air. Why, the volcanic debris alone may block radio signals from the satellites."
Sally said,
"Listen, we should eat while we've got the chance. And not just Agnes's soup."
She rummaged through their supplies, bequeathed by the Cowley. Stan was staring at the images.
"They're going to finish this. They really are going to take this Earth apart altogether, aren't they? It seems such a waste."
"The Beatles wouldn't say that," Lobsang said. "They believe they're improving the neighborhood."
Sally laid out food packets.
"Well, we have beef, chicken, bread, salad stuff. I wonder if they packed any mustard."
Stan said,
"But why would the beetles do this? What's the point? I thought the theory was these beetles are colonizers."
"That's how it looked from the world we called the planetarium," Lobsang said, "which they appear to be terraforming to their requirements. But we also saw evidence of conflict in the sky of the star cluster. A war in heaven. Evidently their colonizing wave is being opposed. But here, by coming stepwise to this Earth, the beetles suddenly found themselves in an empty world, empty of their competitors at any rate, and under an open, empty sky. In such a situation, the optimal strategy for aggressive colonizers must be..."
"Like a dandelion," Sally said, seeing it suddenly. "Or a puffball fungus. To colonize all the empty space as widely as possible, as fast as possible, before anybody else gets a chance. And that means sending seeds off in all directions, as many as you can.
Ah. Stan closed his eyes. I understand. They take apart the whole Earth. They capture the dispersed mass, turn it into...
copies of themselves, probably, Lobsang said. The numbers are staggering. If they turned this whole world into a horde of beetles, each of which weighs as much as an adult human, say, then there could be as many as 10 billion trillion of them, scattering in all directions. Far more beetles than there are stars in the galaxy.
Stan said, and each one, in principle, capable of landing on a virgin world and replicating away until it's achieved the same damn thing again.
All of which is why we needed to ensure the beetles didn't spread into the long Earth stepwise, that we contained them here. Otherwise...
Sally smiled. Otherwise, in a few years, the worlds of the long Earth would be going up like a string of firecrackers, one by one. She mimed explosions with her fingers. Poom, poom, poom. And from each contaminated world, the beetles will spread out to infect an entire galaxy.
Stan shook his head. You know, I told my followers that above all they should do no harm. This world was inhabited, with a freight of life of its own, unique, irreplaceable. What kind of being would do this?
Creatures like humans, Sally said bluntly. That's all. I don't imagine you ever saw much of the datum, of the mess we made of that in the end.
Humans also build cathedrals, Stan said softly.
Lobsang said, even with the beetles it might not be as black and white as that. There may have been a more innocent motive at the beginning, a drive for peaceful colonization. Perhaps these beetles are descended from units which mutated, went rogue. Maybe a programmed drive to be efficient, not to be wasteful of the resources they accessed, morphed into a commandment to use up all the resources in reach. Well, the places they transform will be tidy, but it will be the tidiness of death, of sterility. After all, they don't seem to be intrinsically evil. They even seem to have played with the children of New Springfield. It's just that they got out of control.
Garbage, Sally said. You're overthinking it, Lobsang. The beetles are just like us, and that's that.
She held out a plastic plate heaped with sandwiches.
Chicken or beef?
Lobsang tentatively took a chicken. There's one option I need to inform you about, he said, before I have to use it. Sally, suspicious, glared at him.
Even now you've got a stunt to pull, Lobsang.
He pointed to the sky. I could upload myself to one of the Cowley's satellites. Transfer my seed of consciousness from this ambulant unit into space, where it might survive even the final destruction of the planet.
Do it, Stan said.
It would mean abandoning the two of you. To a last few minutes of fire and brimstone, Sally said.
So what? I agree, Lobsang. Keep observing for as long as you can. That's why we came here.
And if you ever get the chance, Stan said, tell somebody.
Lobsang nodded. I'll make it so.
Stan said, but if you're leaving early, Lobsang.
Yes?
Can I have that last chicken sandwich?